One quick announcement. After the service today, right after church, there will be a meeting for greeters, ushers, and anybody who would like to be involved in the safety team. Mary will be hosting that meeting, and there will be a light lunch. So if you are willing to be a part of that, please join them in the fellowship hall. And so if you have any questions, Mary is in the back, but yes. If you put up, Joe, I believe it is the third slide, because I want to show this. Yes. Okay, mission is a specific task with which a person or group is charged. It is also defined as a calling or a vocation. And so we are going to pray for two missionary families this morning. We are in Missions Month, and we're highlighting different missionaries so that you can see they're on the board in the hallway, which is fabulous. And when they send us letters and updates, you can go there and you can see the letters that they send and what's going on with them in the countries. But we want to just throughout this month highlight some missionaries so that you can pray with us for those missionaries and just be aware of who they are. So the first is if you put up the first one, the Lawsons. The Lawsons, Todd and Christine Lawson, and their two sons work in Senegal, Africa. So they asked that we would please pray for the city of Dakar and the work being done here. Senegal is 97% Muslim, and poverty and hopelessness is pervasive. It says there has been some civil unrest lately that has caused increased security concerns. Please pray for peace and nonviolent resolution to political conflicts, that we would be able to raise their budget, that they would raise their budget quickly and return to Senegal. The need is so great here and there are so few workers. That their sons, Sam and Paul, would transition well during their time in the States. We're hoping to have them come because right now they are in the States. The missionaries come to the States to raise their support and to give testimonies about what God's been doing in the countries where they live. And so we're hoping to have them come soon and give us a report. But let's just pray for Todd and Christine. Father, we just pray for the Lawson family. We thank you for their willingness to heed the call and go on the mission that you have called them to. God, we just pray. Lord, we pray that you would help them to raise their support quickly. We pray that you would put it on the hearts of churches that you want to support them. We pray that you would direct their calendar and open doors for them to speak and minister. We pray that they would get back there quickly. Lord, we just pray. God, for the city of Dakar and the work being done there, we pray that you would draw people out of darkness and into your marvelous light. We pray that Christians would have opportunities, God, to share the gospel and the light. We pray that you would call people to Senegal, God, to work among the people and to minister with love and grace and to show people your power at work in the country, and that Muslims would be turned to you. God, we just pray that their sons, Sam and Paul, Lord, would be transition well during their time in the States, that they would make friends, because you know that's important, Lord, that they would just adjust well and be able to have open lines of communication with their parents about any struggles that they have during their time here. God, we just pray that, God, that you would bring peace and a nonviolent resolution to political conflicts, that you would help leaders, Lord. Your word says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it. We ask you to turn the hearts of leaders to make nonviolent decisions that would lead in the country of Senegal, we pray in Jesus' name. All right, the next one is we are going to pray for the Gilpins, who are in the Philippines. In March, they reached their goal to move their family from Manila in the Philippines to Davao City, Philippines. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but they hope to minister to many unreached people groups, so people that have never heard the gospel. Their hope is to build up and edify the body of Christ in Davao by holding Holy Spirit conferences where believers are trained and equipped to engage people in prayer with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So is there anybody that would be willing to stand and pray over these things for the Gilpins? All right, Brother Rod, you're going to pray for the Gilpins. Wonderful. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to talk about because of, if you go next to the next slide, the mission one again, because we are called with a specific task. We have a calling. We have a vocation as Christians. God is calling us. We have a mission that God has given us. And so how do you see yourself? That's what we're going to talk about today. Do you see yourself called and empowered with a purpose? This is something that Janine shared with us on Friday night, that we are called and we are empowered to serve the Lord. See yourself through His eyes, through the eyes of the Father, through the eyes of the Lord Jesus, through what the Holy Spirit reveals to you? Do you see yourself only through your own eyes or through the eyes of others? When we look in the mirror, we see our reflection. So this is going to be our mirror today. And so when we look in the mirror, we see our reflection. When we learn, though, to look at ourselves the way that He sees us through what He shows us, then it changes how we view who we are and what can be done in and through us. So I need two volunteers. It can be teenagers, adults, preferably a male and a female. All right, Alina, are you raising your hands, James? Oh, Terry is, okay, yes. Okay, Terry, come on. Actually, we got room for three, so Xavier, you raised your hand, right? Yes, did you raise your hand? I think you raised his hand. Okay, come on. Okay, so this is what all you're going to do is you're going to kneel in front of the mirror. Just find a place in front of the mirror that you're going to kneel. And then, come on, Silas. So Silas is going to represent the Lord Jesus. Okay, and so this is what's awesome. When we have, so this is just obviously a picture, but Silas is going to show you what happens. And so right here, when we come into our time with the Lord, when we spend time in prayer, when we come to the altar, when we come to read the Bible, what happens? And so, Silas, if you just come get these and just begin to put them up in front of the different people, and I'll talk about them as you put them up. So what happens is as we spend time with the Lord, so we come and we look at our reflection, and I don't know. So my daughter FaceTimes me a lot. And so when we FaceTime, honestly, when the FaceTime first comes up, I'm like, oh, like, you know, I have to like change my face because I'm like, oh, I look this or I look that, or, you know, I don't have any makeup on or whatever it is. You know, sometimes when we look at our reflection, the first thing that we see is all of the flaws that we have. You know, oh, I feel like I look so old, or I have this pimple on my face, or, you know, I, you know, whatever it is, you know. And as we begin, though, to look into our reflection with the Lord Jesus, first of all, He begins to show us who He is. He is merciful. He is our teacher. And as we begin to read the Word and understand who He is, He begins to teach us, you, Terry, are empowered by My Spirit. Because the Bible is full of stories of people just like us. People that come from backgrounds with drama, people that have weakness, people that have frailties and confusion, people that don't know what to do in the moment. And as we begin to read the Bible and we see, oh, God used David, even though he had all of these problems, even though he made some really big mistakes, God still used him. And so when I begin to look into the Scripture, and I stop reading it just as words on a page so that I can check a box, or so that, you know, because I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. But as I begin to read the words, God so loved the world, or you have loved me first, what happens is I begin to understand, wait, I am loved by God Almighty. And that's an amazing thing. I begin to see, wait, God's word says that I am blessed. If I am serving Him and I am seeking Him, and when you begin to then take those words and not just leave them on the mirror, but when you begin to then take the words that Jesus is showing you and then you internalize them, you know that's mine. That's who I am. And then when you get up from the mirror, you walk out with those words. No, I am loved by God. Now, sometimes, let's all be honest, we feel like anointed, like, okay, yes, all right, for a moment, you know, like I feel anointed. And then I walk out and I, you know, share a message or I try to talk to somebody and I stumble all over my words. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, Alina, I'm pulling her hair. I don't feel anointed anymore. You know, those words that God spoke to me start to fall to the ground. And I'm like, and that's when I need Jesus. Just begin to come behind them and just point to things. What happens when we come back into the presence of God is maybe I forgot that I was anointed. Or I knew that God told me he was going to provide for me. You obey me. You do what I told you to do. I am your provider. But then I look at the bills and I look at the world and I look at the gas prices and I look at the groceries and I go, wait a minute. But when I come back into the presence of God and I see, no, God's word says that I am blessed. You said that I am this. And I begin to take those words again and apply them. And this is why it's important to highlight in your Bible, to write down the things that God tells you. Because listen, it's great when we feel that in the moment, but then we go out into situations where we don't feel loved and we don't feel anointed and we don't feel empowered and we don't feel all of these things. And that's when I got to take this word with me and no, you are empowered by the presence of God. And when I feel like so judged, I don't even remember. No, God said that he is merciful. He said that he's merciful to me. Not just, you know, but he is merciful to me. God says that he has called me to be a teacher of his word and all those things. And so thank you very much for all of you and your willingness. Let's give them all a hand. All right. Thank you, Silas. So how do you see yourself? I want us to remember this. The sooner you recognize who you are, the easier the growth will be. If you put up go to the next one. Yes, the sooner you recognize who he says you are, the easier your growth will be. Craig Rochelle wrote a book called The Power to Change, and I haven't read the book, but I've listened to the podcast, and it's very good. And he says, you do what you do because of what you think of you. And he shares an example of how him and when they first built the church, and anyway, it turned out there was a fight in the parking lot of their office building. And he said at first, him and the guy that were there in the office building ran out to see the fight, and they found themselves about ready to go, fight, fight, fight. And then they realized, wait, I am a pastor. Like, my job is not to cheer for the fight, but to go and break up the fight. And so then they realized, no, I can't do this, even though maybe my flesh is rising up and wanting me to cheer for the fight. Who I am decides what I do. And so because they knew, no, I am a pastor. This is so I need to go and break up this fight. And so we do what we do because of what we think of us, because of the things that we have labeled as acceptable behavior for us, things that, no, this is just how I am, or this is just who I am, or this is just what I do or what I don't do. And when we define ourselves by those things instead of by what the Word of God says, that who we are, then we miss it. It's vital as Christians that we read the Bible, that we spend time in God's presence, that we spend time in worship. Why? Because we are surrounded with messages all day long. We're surrounded with information all day long. And when we get into our time of reflection with the Lord, the Bible says that when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when I get into the time of the Lord and I say, Lord, remind me who I am. Remind me, more importantly, who you are, so that when I see who you are, I can remember who I am. Because who he is what defines me. When I understand that he is a loving father and that he loves me as his child, then that revelation and that understanding begins to define me. Because how you view yourself is what categorizes expected behavior. Do you see yourself the way that God sees you? If you ask him, he will show you. But you have to give him time to do it. You can't say, God, I just wish you would show me something like all those other people, and then spend all your time on social media and television watching nonsense that fills your brain with the other stuff. It's vital that we give him time to say to us what he wants to say. But if you ask him and he shows you, prepare yourself, because often it will look very different than the way that you view yourself. Sometimes God calls us into things knowing that he has equipped us even when we don't feel equipped. When God first begins to show us something or call us into something or deal with us about something, our usual genuine response is, God, you talking to me? Like, did you mean to say that to somebody else? You know, because that's not who I am. That's not how I feel. I don't have those kind of giftings. I'm not that kind of person. But often we're fighting against what God has told us because it's not comfortable or it doesn't come naturally to us. But our lives and priorities need to be directed by who he says we are and how he's calling us to live. If you look, when Jesus first met Peter in John 1, we're not going to go there, we're going to go to another scripture in a few minutes, but in John 1, when Jesus first met Peter, he renamed him. When he met Nathanael, who Philip brought, he said, "You are a son of Israel in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael's response was like ours, maybe. He said, "How do you know me?" And then Jesus pointed out, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And all of a sudden, he's like, whoa, you know, and he's becomes a disciple of Jesus. When the angel of the Lord, who was Jesus in the Old Testament, basically, came to Gideon, he called him a mighty warrior while he was hiding from the enemy army. The Lord has used that passage of scripture so many times in my life because he, I feel like, has told me, I am calling you to lead people into battle. And I'm like, God, I am not a fighter. Like, I do not feel like a mighty warrior. I'm not. But that's where he sees who he has placed in us to be. And we have to learn to see ourselves the way that he sees us. God told Jeremiah and called him a prophet from his mother's womb. He tells us who we are if we will seek him, because he sees what we can't see. And when we let him show us who we are, our mission changes from just trying to make it. If you put up that next slide, I'm just trying to make it through the day. Oh, that was Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in himself, so is he. Because you do what you do because of what you think about you. That's the whole concept behind this book. As he thinks in himself, so is he. Sorry, I skipped over that part. Okay, go ahead to the next one. Go to the next one. I'm just skipping all over the place. Okay, when we let him show us who we are, our mission changes from just trying to make it. Like, I just want to make it through work. I just want to make it through traffic. I just want to make it through this day to I want to seek to know him. The Bible says that we should do everything that we do as unto the Lord. So if I'm at home changing diapers, if I'm at church preparing for a sermon, if I'm at the gas station pumping in my gas, whatever I'm doing, do it to know him and to honor him and to seek him. As we get to know our Father God, he will show us ways he's gifted us and what he's calling us to do, because we're not human doings. We're human beings. So seeking to know him and understand who he has called us to be. We get to know him by asking him to reveal himself, giving him time to do it, and surrendering in the things that he calls us to. Because I put this one here too, because sometimes when I come into my time with God, the Lord shows me my sin. He shows me that was selfishness, Shannon. That was vanity, that was an attitude, that was pride, that was whatever it is. But the beautiful thing is this, and the same moment that he shows it to me, I can ask him, God, would you forgive me? Yes, you're right. I was insecure, and so I responded in a way that was not godly. Would you forgive me? And he will, right in that moment, he will forgive us. And the Bible says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have to remember that. That's 1 John 1:9. I find that in the Word, and I have to remember that because sometimes even after I walk away from my reflection, I still feel sinful, even though God has forgiven me. And that's when I have to remember, no, I have to take this from the word that says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I have to put that on me when I walk out and go, no, God's word says that I am forgiven, that I am loved, that I am, that I have a merciful, good Father who desires to walk with me and strengthen me and help me. So Philippians 3, 8 through 10 in the New Living Translation, we see Paul's main ambition was to know God, to know Christ. He said, yes, everything else, if you want to stand, we'll read these verses. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making him right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Amen. You can be seated. Everything else is worthless, he said, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If we do not seek to know him, if we do not spend time reflecting on who he is and who he says we are, it's going to be difficult to fulfill the mission, because life will just overtake you with busyness, with drama, with frustration. But the beautiful thing about serving such an ever-present God is that if I find myself frustrated with just life, if I find myself overwhelmed with where I am, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I can invite God into every situation. Even when I'm failing, I can invite him into every situation. I listened to a sermon by Stephen Furtick this past week, and he said that after talking about this to the staff about correction, when somebody came up to him afterwards and asked him, but if you are naturally a fighter and your natural response is to respond and to fight, how do you take correction in the moment and just receive it without responding? He said, I don't. He said, in the moment, like I'm thinking, you know, all this stuff is revving within me. He said, but if I leave it there, and I go and let the Lord, you know, deal with me, the Lord helps me to grow. He said it's after those moments. A lot of times in the moment of correction, whether it's in a time of prayer or it's when we're in a situation with somebody and all of a sudden our flesh rises up and we think, man, who is that? Like, where is that saved, sanctified saint that was at church yesterday? You know, because all of a sudden I don't feel like any of those things. It's what we do in those moments that determine whether or not we're going to keep going, keep walking with him, and grow through it. Because we can say, Lord, what happened? Where did I miss you there? What happened? And sometimes God will begin to show us things about our lifestyle that need to change, things about our habits that need to change, things about our mindset that needs to change. It could be as simple as you need to go to bed earlier. You spent too much time watching television or on social media or doing even things that could be done the next day, and you were tired. The Lord will begin to show us how to live this life victorious, but it is a work in progress. All of us are a work in progress. And that's why seeking to know him, when I feel worthy, when I feel unworthy, when I feel like a success, when I feel like a failure, when I understand, when I don't understand, just coming back to reflecting on who he is and who he's calling me to be. Coming back to him and saying, God, what are you saying to me? The beautiful thing about reading the Bible is when you open it and you read about David, or like in Sunday school, you read about Solomon and all his wives, you ask God, God, what are you teaching me about you? And what do you want to show me? Sometimes I might read a whole psalm and two of the verses might really stand out to me. Now, I know that the whole Bible is inspired and anointed. But sometimes if I read that whole psalm and I get down to two verses before the end, and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my goodness, That's exactly what I needed. We were in worship today, and when Janine started singing, they were singing, "What a friend we have." And then when they got to "What a friend we have in Jesus," I just started crying. I mean, there's these moments when you walk with the Lord that all of a sudden it's like you just get this revelation of who he is. Will you put up that that revelation? It's a few slides back, Joe. It says revelation at the beginning of it. Revelation is understanding about God and from God. That's a very simple Shannon definition. But that's how it is for me. Is when all of a sudden I'm reading the word and I just get this understanding about who God is or about a situation that comes directly from God. He will give us revelations about himself if we will walk with him and about ourselves. But we can miss what he wants to reveal if we don't take time to hear what he has to say. There is so much wisdom to be gained by listening. And so if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, then you are called by him, and he has given you his presence to enable you to walk with him in supernatural things, to see chains be broken on people's lives, to recognize that person that you're seeing at Walmart, that person behind the counter that's ringing up your groceries, they are struggling today. Just offer them a kind word. Or that neighbor that just came to talk to you that needs prayer, pray for healing for them. God will heal people. Like, we are called to walk in the supernatural, but we do that by remembering who he is and who we are. Our lives are created with purpose. And as we discover God, we can discover his purpose. Not just like, this is what my calling is way down the road. This is my purpose for today. Like, this is what God is calling me to do right now. Right now, I can tell you what your purpose is if you're a Christian. It is to know him. And if you, in the simplicity of seeking to know him, when I'm at work, Lord, how would you do this? How would you respond to this situation with my husband or my children or my wife? How would you respond to this situation at work? How would you respond to these bills that I have? Lord, what is your idea? How do you want me? And learning to walk with him. And the way that we learn to hear his voice is by spending time in the Word of God. Because as you get to know who he is, then you start to recognize his voice. The first few times that I really understood I was hearing God's voice, it came through Scripture. And then as I walk with him, he says lots of things to me. Things that aren't Scripture, but just things that he's speaking to me throughout the day. So we have to be willing, though, to lay down our lives. And I want to close with these verses. Matthew 22:36-40 in the New Living says, "They came to Jesus and they said, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' And Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself.' The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." That is the simplicity of the gospel. Two commandments. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of people don't love themselves at all. And there is so much insecurity within them because they don't understand who they are in Christ that they can't love other people. God is calling us to understand who he is, and by seeing ourselves through his eyes, learn to love other people as we love ourselves. And there is a security that comes. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. There is a security that comes from knowing him and knowing who I am in him. A lot of the things that we do that are wrong is because of insecurity. I'm insecure, so I can't handle it if you're better than me, or if you look better than me, or if you do this better than me. Insecurity causes us to react instead of respond. But when we understand the perfect love of an almighty God, then it begins to cast fear out. And it's a process that he works in us and changes us. So I'm going to end with these scriptures. 1 John 4:18-21 says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I love that. He started it. He loved us first before we were even lovable. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We love him because he first loved us. So, Joe, if you'll play a song, we just want to invite you. We've already had a wonderful time of just in the presence of the Lord, but we always want to make it available. If you are not right with God, he is calling to you. If you feel like, man, I really need to get right with God, the Bible says we can't come unless the Holy Spirit draws us. So if you're feeling a need to come, it's because God Almighty is drawing you and calling you. But we have a choice as to how we live and whether or not we accept the invitation. So I invite you, if you need prayer for just a situation that you're facing, if you need prayer for healing, we want to pray with you. And so we just invite you to come and let us pray.